The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Chavav. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tenichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav He Amud Bet. We are starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Mishnah. Marhikin et ha'ilan nabor 25 amma. So a person planting a tree. The tree is next to a bor. So he has to move the tree at least 25 amma away from the bor. What are we concerned about? The roots. The roots are going to go underground. The roots spread at least 25 amma. It's like 50 feet further. And it's going to affect the bor somehow. We'll have to see exactly what it does to the bor. Wait for the Gemara. Ubeharuba b'shechma, when it comes to a sycamore tree or a carob tree, hamishim amma. Then already you have to distance it 50 amma, because these trees have many roots and they span out even to a further distance. Ben min lemala, ben min hatzad, whether it's on top or on the side. Now, to appreciate, what does it mean, ben bin imala, ben bin atzad? We have a good picture in our books on 394. So here you have a tree, okay? The tree is, let's say, at the foot of the mountain. A little way up the mountain, you have a bor. So here you see, this is ben bin imala, where the tree now is going to affect the bor that is above it. Or ben bin imala, min limata. We have the board that is at the foot of the mountain as well, min hatzad, it's next to it. Now I understand the problem of the board that's next to the tree, because the roots you see are affecting it. I don't know yet what's the problem with this. I mean, the roots don't go up, so therefore why should this be a problem, min lemala? We'll have to wait for the Gemara as well to explain why the min lemala case is a problem. The Mishnah continues, and this is already something we've read a few times. Ima bor kadma, if the bor came first, kotzitz veloten damim, then you have a right to cut the tree, but you have to pay him. The logic why you have to pay him is because when he planted his tree, he planted it legally. Now that the bor is over there, so now veloten damim. Ima bor kadma, since when he planted his tree, he planted it illegally, because there was a bor over there. So then not only do I have a right to cut it down, but the deen is, I have to pay him. Imabor kadma kotzitz venotin damim. But I have to pay him. Now what's the logic why I have to pay him? So that she says, the kevan de birshut Mishnah again. Imabor kadma, again, so what happened over here? The bor came first. That means if the bor came first, when the guy planted his tree, it was illegal.
Why should I pay?
So kotzetz venoten damim. V'im ilan kodem, but if the ilan came first, lo yakut, you shouldn't cut it at all. Now let's see the sheep. Venoten damim. The kevan de brishut nata, since when he planted it, even though there was a bor there, it was okay. She'eno mazik adzman gidul. When you plant a tree next to a bor, you're not damaging it immediately. It takes time. So since it's an indirect damage that takes time for it to grow and take root, so that she comes and tells me the rabbis did not go so strict on them that we're not going to pay you. Which means it wasn't a direct damage, like you went and took a hammer and you banged the guy's bor. That already, of course you're hayav. In this case over here, you're wrong for planting the tree there, because really, eventually it's going to affect the guy's board. And he was there first. But you know what? We're not going to penalize you, we're going to pay you. Because bottom line, since it was an indirect damage, it's something that happened later on, and you're only damaging an individual. It's not like you're damaging the rabim. So therefore, we didn't penalize the guy, and we pay him. However, if ilan kadam, the tree gave first, now he did 100% good. There was no bor. Can't even cut the tree. Sefek ze kadam, sefek ze kadam. Oh, let's say I don't know who came first. Lo yakutz. So you have a sefek, leave it. Biyose omer, afapi shabor kodemet le'ilan, lo yakutz. Sheze hofer betoch shelo, veze hofer betoch shelo. It's Rabbi Yosef's famous shita. Rabbi Yosef says, even if the bor came first, and this guy went now, planted his tree, leave it. Don't even cut his tree down. Why? I planted my tree on my property, your bor is on your property, you can't tell me what to do on my property. Even though eventually it's going to come a damage, but it's not a direct damage. And therefore when I planted it, nothing was going on. Rabbi Yosef says, keep his tree, he cannot even cut it at all. Tana, we learned in the Mishnah. Ben Shabor Nemata Vilan Nemala, Ben Shabor Nemala Vilan Nemata. Actually, we have a Braita. It says, Ben Shabor Nemata, whether the board is below, Vilan Nemala, and the tree is above, Ben Shabor Nemala, or the board is above, Vilan Nemata. Pishlama Bor Nemata Vilan Nemala, Kaazlin Sharashin Maskila Labor. When the tree is on high and the board is below, I understand the problem because the roots go down. The roots are going to go down, they're going to affect the board. Ela bor lemala, ve'ilan lemata. But if the board is up and the tree is down, amai, what could happen? The roots don't go up. So why is it a problem? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Hana or Haga, v'shem Rabbi Yoseh, v'pnei shemahalidim et hakarka, u'malkin kalki'ata shel bor. Whenever you have a tree, even though the tree is below and the board is above, the tree causes the ground to get softened because it becomes moist from the water of the tree and all the activity of the tree, and that causes the whole earth in that area to become soft. So even though the roots might not go up, but you affected the earth now. Now this board that's on top is being affected because the earth that's under it is soft, and therefore you took away the stability of the board. Comes the Gemara and continues. The Biyose Omer Afapish Abor Kodemet La'ilan Lo Yakutz Sheze Hofer Betoch Shelo Veze Noteya Betoch Shelo. Biyose Shita, I'm on my property, you're on your property, you can't tell me what to do, even though the board was there first. So what? I didn't plant the tree on your property, I put it on my property. Therefore the Biyose says everybody stays put, you don't chop any trees now. Amar Yehuda Amar Shemuel Halacha Rabbi Yosef. So Shemuel was posek against the Tarakama. He was posek like Rabbi Yosef, that everybody stays put. So comes Gemara and says, which means really, what's the logic of Rabbi Yosef? You get out of the way. Let the board get out of the way. Which means there's two ways of looking at it. Does the damager get out of the way? Or does the damagee get out of the way? According to Rabbi Yosef, he says, Al nizak larhik. You're getting damaged, which means I planted on my field. I did anything wrong here. This is my property. You can't tell me to do my property. You have a problem? So see you later. Take a walk. So move your board away. I don't have to move if I did something on my property, especially where it was indirect damage. Which means I didn't do a direct damage to you. I planted a tree. 6 months later, it took root, and all of a sudden now you have claims on me. So I move out of it. I didn't do anything wrong. That's Rabbi Yosef's logic. However, Umudeh Rabbi Yosef, Amar Vashe. When we're in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Hava Amrin, and we learned over there, they said, Mode Rabbi Yosef, Bigi Redide. Oh, Rabbi Yosef's Mode, when it's his arrow, which means when it's more direct, like a person shooting an arrow that's coming from his koah. When you shoot an arrow, why Hayav? Because the arrow has its trajectory from your strength. So that's direct. So the Biyosin will agree, if the damage that you did is more direct, it'll be Hayav. For example, we lived in Baba Metzi'ah. Remember in Baba Metzi'ah we had a case, we had a guy living in the first floor, a guy living on the second floor. The guy in the second floor, his floor got a hole in it, broken. And the guy on top is making the Tilat Yadayim, and the water is falling on the guy on the bottom of his head. So in that case over there, Rabbi Yosef says, you can't say in that case over there, get out of the way. You're pouring the water right on my head. That's not considered, that a case where it's indirect. That's considered direct. So even Rabbi Yosef will more in certain cases where the damage is more direct, like you see in your books, in 396, right? You have the guy on the bottom floor, he's at his table, whatever he's doing, and the guy on the top, he's making it tonight and then right into the hole that he has on his floor. So he's raining on the guy in the bottom. That's not considered... in that case, Rabbi Yosef will agree, you can't tell the bottom guy, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You're doing it directly on my head. Should I get out of the way? So in that case over there, he's more there. Comes the Gemara and says... And actually, if you want to read it in Nashi, we can read it in Nashi. Look at Gideh Dileh. If the damage comes from the hands of the mazik, there's two guys. One guy lives on the top floor. One guy lives on the bottom floor. If heat ma'aziba, the ma'aziba, that's the floor, got rotten and now became a hole. Every time he washes his hands, the water falls on the bottom. When the water falls directly from the top to the bottom, that's called his arrows. But if you remember, we know the number Tziah as well. If let's say it doesn't go direct, let's say he washes over there and it slopes and trickles down to the hole, that Rabbi Yosef would say he doesn't have to do anything, which means that case we're going to get out of the way. Because it's not direct. But where to get the guy's going right into the hole over the guy's head. Comes the Gemara and says, Pape Yona'a. Okay, Pape Yona'a is the name of a fellow. He came from a place called Yona'a, so they called him Pape Yona'a. Ani the Ashirava. Originally he was a poor guy. He was Ani. And then one day, he got rich. So what did he do? Bana Afadna. After he got rich, he went, he built a castle. He built a very, very big house. But in the neighborhood of the castle, there were these guys that were pressing sesame seeds. That's what they were, making sesame seed oil. Okay, so what was happening? Every time they would bang on the press over there, so what would happen, if you see over here, they have the way they make the sesame seeds, they have a big, like a tub, and they put the sesame in it, they have a stick, and they bang it to get the oil. What was happening? They were doing it so hard, his palace was shaking. So he says, he had claims over here. So it says, Dehi avu daike shumsheme. When they were pounding the shumsheme, the sesame, ava naide afadne, his palace was shaking. So he came in front of Rav Asher, Amale, ki avan beravkana avamrinan, modi Rabbi Yosef begire dideh. This case is Gireh Dileh, it's direct. Which means this case is a direct result of his banging, he's affecting the palace. You can't say over here, get out of the way. You get out of the way. You have to get out of the way. You're doing me a direct damage by being so close to the house and causing it. It's causing shaking, right? It's causing vibrating the building. So the one else says, Vechama. Oh. Now, how much vibration is vibration? Which means anything? Even the slightest vibration of the building, already you can tell the guy, you got to get out of the way. There's got to be a certain shi'ur that we are going to say over here. So Gemara says, there is, kidinayid nachtema apume dehasba, which means, if let's say you would put on the wall of one of these buildings, that on this building, you would put a jug with a cover on it, right? A small little jug with a cover on it. If it would shake, the jug would move, then already it's considered enough to move the guy away. Now, that sounds like a big shi'ur, which means that sounds like it's got to be significant. I mean, for the jug to move on the wall, it sounds like it's a big shi'ur. Now look at that sheet first, just to get the words. She'im yanichu kad ala choma, put a jug on the wall, v'chesuya alei, uncover it, the cover will actually shake because of the vibration. Look at Tosafot. Al pirusha kuntras kasha that is. I don't like that she's explanation. You can tell me it's going to shake that much till the cover of the nod is going to move. The imkin abayit karov lipol. If we got to that level already, the house is about to crumble. That's a big tremor over there. That's not stam a shaking. It sounds like over here the building was a strong building. So therefore, Sha'arim betuch ha'oshen b'nai was rich when he built it. Good. So therefore, Tosfot says the way that she's understanding it's too much, which means you should be hayav even on much less. Once you get to that point already, the building is at the verge of collapse. So Tosfot learns different. It's talking about not when you put it on the wall of the building. Right, it's when you're holding it. When a person's holding it in his hand, so now when you're holding it in your hand, it's less of a vibration because you can control it. When it's just sitting freestanding on the wall of the building, so therefore, it's less control. But here, the movement is very, very slight when you're holding it in your hand and there's a vibration. So therefore, in that's how much the building has to move. It's a slight amount. It's marginal, but still. Even if it's moving that amount, going to the Tosafot, already has a right to tell the sesame guy, get out of the way. To have two pshatim in the one, she says you're putting the item on the wall. That's mashma, it's a big shaking. And according to Tosafot, even a less, because again, we're talking about a strong building. If the building was a solid building, and you put this on the wall, it's got to shake a lot to move this item. So you tell me, it's an earthquake. For such until it becomes earthquake level, then you can tell the sesame guy to get away. That's we cannot accept that. And I said, you know, it's a marginal shaking. How much? Well, not when you put it on the wall. Put it on the wall, it's got to go a lot. It's in your hand, and the guy's banging, so it moves a drop. It moves a little. And that's already the shi'ur. Okay, comes the Gemara continues. Debe Barbarion. Okay, the house of Barbarion. Bered de Ravin, he was the son of Ravin. Kiavan nafse kitna. What was he doing? He was combing his flax. Right, the flax has like seeds in it. In order to make it clean, smooth, so they would comb it. Hava azla rikta umazka inche. What was happening? The stuff that was coming out of the flax was flying away. And it was damaging people, the neighboring people. Atula came to Ravina, so he came in front of the rabbi, had a complaint. Amadehu, ki amrinan modeh Rabbi Yosef begiri dileh. When does Rabbi Yosef modeh? That the mazik has to get out of the way. That's only when it's a direct damage. Hani miri deka azla mekoho. That's only when it comes as a result of his koa. Acha. Here it's not coming as a direct of his kawa because the wind is involved. So it's not, he's just combing the flax. What's really causing the damage? After the wind takes it and blows it over there, therefore he says, Rabbi Yosef holds, you know, Hayav in that case, that's considered indirect. Now, Tosfot over here has a very strong question. What are you talking about? If you remember, we learned the Masechet Baba Kama. It's for Nizikin. One of the Nizikin damages is what? Ish. What's the properties of Ish? Ish is, for example, fire. What's a fire? You light a fire, but the fire needs a wind in order to move it. So therefore, that's considered Hayav. Example, you put something on your roof. Abno, Sakino, Masao, his rock, his knife, his load of whatever it was. Came a wind, blew it off, damage, Hayav, that's Ish. Ish doesn't have to be a fire. It's the properties of fire. It's an item that can damage, and a wind helped out. So therefore, similarly over here, this should be considered Ish. But why did Rabina say, Patur, why Patur? You were doing the combing, and the wind came and caused the damage. So Tosfot says, there's a difference. Now read it in the Tosafot. Look at this Tosafot, you see the question. Zikahu de kamam tena, the big Tosafot. Kasha neri, tenehayev mishum ish. Zibahayev mishum ish. Right? So scroll down a little. So the Tosafot says, "Ve'omerli." I'll go down a little to get to the answer. "Ve'omerli." "Ve'lo dami le'esh." It's different. Wow, what's the difference? "De'en hayav mishum esh ela kashi'asa adam et ha'esh lebado." Esh only hayav when the damager lit the fire himself. And then, "Kedichtiv ha'mav'ir et ha'be'ira be'lo siyua ruach." First, he had to light the fire himself in one spot, and then after he lit it, the wind came and took it back. "Ach olechet ha'yidei ha'ruach mitzuya, abal ha'acha en oseh lebado kol ikar." Here the damage is being done totally by the wind. There's no damage when you're combing. No combing your flax. The damage over here is taking place by who? By the wind alone. In a regular case of ish, you lit the fire, and then the wind took it. So you're involved. But here, what am I involved in? I'm combing flax. That's a damage. It's not a damage.
It's in the chaff.
No, but that's not a damage. There's no damage in loosening chaff. I'm combing my flax. The damage came solely by the wind. Solely by the wind. That's not ish. That's why Rabbi Nachman came along and said, in the other case over there, you contributed in the sense, you made the fire, you were part of the damage. You put a damaging item on a roof. That's like lighting a fire. And then the wind came. So then you hayav. Anyway, Rabbi Nachman told him, patur, it's kawah. You have nothing to worry about. It's wind. Nothing to worry about. You're okay. You can stay where you are. He's, the other guy said, tell him to move. Continue doing what you're doing. You have no problem. So comes again, Gemara and says, Matkif le'mor barav asher. Oh, so Rav Asher, Omor barav asher asked the question. Mai shena mizore v'ruach mesayato. He asked him a question from Masechet Shabbat. One of the melachot on Shabbat is what? Zore. What is zore? English we call it winnowing. What's winnowing? You have the wheat. So first they thresh it in order to separate the wheat from the chaff. Then they take it and they throw it up into the wind. And the wind blows away the light chaff, flies away. And the heavy wheat falls back down. That's where they separate. Now, on Shabbat, you're hayav if you do that. Even though it's being done by the wind. So you see what? That something that's being done by the wind is considered as if you did it. So therefore, you understand, on Shabbat, the wind is doing everything, and you're hayav. So here also, so the wind is doing it. Why should you be patur? Now obviously, this rabbi is comparing the laws of Shabbat to the laws of damages. Now, Rabbi Nah didn't go for this, the first rabbi. Because we can always say, listen, Shabbat is Shabbat laws, and this is monetary, you don't learn from Shabbat. Because on Shabbat, there's a different understanding. On Shabbat, Melechet Machshevet Asra Torah. What is Melechet Machshevet? The Torah's mechayev you if your objective was met. You had an objective to winnow. You did it. Okay, you did it. Okay, if the wind, not what damages here. Bottom, did you winnow? Yes. You wanted to winnow? Yes. If the wind did it not, didn't do it. So you can't learn from Shabbat where all the Torah's mechayeving you on your machshava. But she'ekin on nizikin, you got to be the one that did it. It's not enough that you reach the objective. Who did it? So therefore, the first rabbi says, that don't bring me a question from winnowing. But the second rabbi said, no, just like on winnowing. It's the ruach that's doing it, and that caused you hayuv. So total over here. So comes Gemara and says, "Amaruah kame de moremor." Anyway, they came in front of moremor. Amaru haynu zore v'ruach misayato. Same answer he told him. He says it's like winnowing, and the wind helps. Just like hayav on Shabbat for zore, you hayav in nizikin. Therefore, he told him it's your fault. You got to get out of the way now. You're causing a direct damage. Okay, period. Let's read Rashi for a second. Fourth line. Hainu zore v'ruach mesayato. That's winnowing with the wind. Ki echi d'ryan Shabbat avi kocho v'anyan nizakin ami kocho chashiv. Right? Now, Gemara goes to the question. Unavina, Maishina migets hayotze metahat patish vehizik behayav leshalem. What's that case? Guy has a hammer. He's banging it on the anvil. You know what the anvil is? That's that piece of metal over here. And they take the and a piece of metal, and they want to flatten the piece of metal. They put the metal on a piece of metal itself, or block. They call that an anvil. And you have a patish, that's the hammer. And, you know, when you bang, what happens? Sparks come out. So what happened? As he's banging, sparks came out, and they damaged somebody. What's the deen? You have to pay. Now, those sparks can only travel if there's a little wind. Ah, so they ask on Avina. Over here, the Hayav, even though the wind took the sparks. So then why over here in the case of the flax? The wind took Itamis Patur. What's the difference? It's the same damage. This is the wind causing the sparks to blow away. This is the wind causing the flax to damage. So he comes along and says, it's a little different. He says, Hatam nihale delizil. It's a big difference. In the case of the sparks, the guy doesn't want these sparks to remain in his house. He's happy that the wind is taking it and blowing it out, because he don't want to burn his house down. Oh, so therefore, since he's happy with the result of the wind blowing it, that's as if you did it. Masha'enkin, in the case of the flax, he doesn't care for these things to fly away. Why does he want it to fly away? It doesn't damage these little pieces of flax that he's combing. If it would stay in his area, no damage. Therefore, he's not happy that it blows away. So therefore, in that case, it's not like he did it. Jeez, we're looking at it like this. When you're happy that the wind's taking it, that's like you did it. So therefore, when you're banging on an item and the sparks are making it fly, you want it to fly. So we consider it, it's like your koach. That's your anchor in the case of the flags. Rabbi Nasa says, what do you want from me? I don't care for the wind. The wind happens to take it away. I'm not interested in that. Now look at that. She says a nice insight here. Udabina, Maishana, Bishnama Zore, which means, I understand why Rav Yehuda doesn't have a question from Zoreh, from the winnowing case. Because you can't learn monetary law from Shabbat. Okay, that I understand. The winnowing we can handle for Rav Yehuda. Because in Shabbat, the Torah is mechayev melechet machshevet. The Torah, just like I told you, is concerned about the result. You had kavanah to winnow, you winnowed. Oh, the wind helped you, that's like baruch, so the wind helped you. Mabaman yahayav. Masha'enkin, over here, this is talking about a law of damaging. When you're banging on the anvil, that's laws of damages. And still it says when the wind comes, yahayav. What's the difference? Here you want it, here you don't want it. Comes the next Mishnah. Lo yita adam ilan samuk lesadeh havero. Okay, a person, two neighbors have fields that are next to each other. So the Mishnah says, "Lo yita adam ilan samuk l'sadeh havero." You cannot plant a tree next to your friend's field. Ela imken erhiku memenu arba amot. Unless you moved the tree 4 amot from the property line, you have to move your tree back 4 amot. Echad gefanim ve'echad kol ilan. He says, no matter what we're talking about, whether it's trees, whether it's vines, whenever you have two guys that are neighbors on fields, and one guy wants to plant a tree, he's got to move 4 amot. What's the reason for this? The reason for this, the Gemara is going to tell us, is kedeh mahrisha. In the olden days, as well as today, you had plows. The plow in the olden days was 4 amot. That was the wheels and the carriage with the donkey with the blade in the ground. It's a certain width. You got to get around your trees. Now, if you're not going to have that 4 amma space before the next guy's field, so now when you're going to start plowing, your plow is going to go into the next guy's field and damage it. So therefore, in order to alleviate that problem, you got to leave 4 amma. If you look at picture 401 in your case, in the Pirush Chai, you see there's the vineyard, let's say, or the wheat field. To the left, you have the trees. So you have to leave a 4 amma gap, so the guy can get in there, the guy who owns the trees, can get in there with his plow, and the walk and plow the field. Otherwise, it's going to be too tight, and he's going to end up going to the next guy's field. Comes the Mishnah and says, Haya gader b'nehem, if let's say there was a wall in between the fields, That's right. But if there's a wall, then you can go up to the border. Because I'm not worried about the plow going next door, because there's a wall blocking it. So if you can go up to the water itself. And if you remember we learned, you won't have a problem of kilayim. Which, you know, you tell me, how can I go to the wall now? It's too close. I'm planting two seeds that are next to each other. I can't plant grapes next to wheat. But the deen is, if there's a wall separating, then already it is mutar as well. So that's not an issue as well. Come the Mishnah and continues. What's happens? Let's say, guy planted a tree. Now the roots go underground. The roots happen to travel next door. Now this guy's worried. He's going to want to plow. If there's roots underground, it's going to break his plow. So the deen is, the neighbor is allowed to dig the ground, his ground, up to 3 tefachim deep, and pull out any of the roots, because it's going to damage me from plowing. Ma'ami gimel tefachim, you can go deep 3 tefachim, kedei shelo ya'akev tamachrisha, so it doesn't affect the blade of the plow. That's the picture over here, 403. As you see, you have a tree of Reuven. The tree's roots are going across to Shimon's property, so he's allowed to pull them out 3 tefachim deep in the ground. So the blade, but this is the blade of the plow. The blade of the plow goes 3 tefachim deep, and therefore, yeah, 3 tefachim would be like 10 inches. So therefore, if you're not going to take those weeds out, or not weeds, roots out, it's going to block the blade. So therefore, he has the right. Comes the Mishnah and concludes. If let's say guy was digging in his field a bore, a pit, a shia is like a rectangular pit, a me'ara is like a cave of some sort, kotzetz v'yored, he's allowed to cut the roots that are there, and he gets to keep it himself. Now we're not going to get into the case yet, we'll wait for the Gemara. Basically this is what's happening. You have the uven as a tree on his property line, the roots go across to Shimon's property line, as we see in the picture, and he wants to build a pit. He wants to go in his field, Shimon, and dig a cistern in the ground. So it says when he's digging, he's able to cut the roots, because he wants to make a hole in his ground. Now, it says, and he gets to keep the wood. Now we got to see who gets to keep it. Maybe he has to give the wood that he's cutting back to Reuven. It doesn't say it in the Mishnah. It just says etzim shelo. The wood belongs to him. Belongs to who? Which guy? That Gemara will explain to us. Okay, go to the Gemara. Tana, arba amot she'amru. The reason why Reuven has to move his trees 4 amot from the property line, kedei avodat hakerem, in order to give him space to work, because you need space in order to get the plow through. Like in a vineyard, also that's the way they would do it. They would plow in between the vines. So you got a 4 amot between the vines, because that's the size of the plow. When they planted a vineyard, how did they plant it? They didn't plant them so close to each other. They would leave space in between so you can get around. Similarly, when you have the trees, you need to leave it 4 amot. Comes the Gemara and says, wait. Amar Shemuel, lo shanu eda be'eris Yisrael. This is all we're talking about in Israel. Aval be'vavel, 2 amot. Bavel only 2 amot. What's the difference? So look at Bershi. Aval beBavel 2 amot shemachrishatan ketzara. Over there in Bavel, their plows were smaller. So therefore, you didn't need 4 amot. The plow itself was smaller. They had different land. Right. They had different land. Right. So therefore, since they had different land in Eretz Yisrael. In the Bavel, so one was bigger, one was smaller. And Gemara explains it. Gemara says, "Tanya neme achim of a brayta to say this. Lo yita adam ilan tzemuk l'sadeh havero. Don't put a tree next to your friend's field. Ela imkin yichik merinu 2 amot. This brayta says 2 amot. Ve'anantinan 4 amot. But Amishnah says 4 amot. How do you answer it? Like we just said, ela lav kedush Shmuel, Shmuel mina, must be like Shmuel. Can be Eretz Yisrael." Can be Babel. Some actually brought this as a question. Tenan, it says in the Mishnah, Lo yita adam idan tzimuk lezdei haveru enem kenech mekaminu arba amot. Our Mishnah says 4 amot. Vahatanya shte amot. Oh, I have a brighter that says 2 amot. Amar shemue na kasha. Kam be babel, kam be eretz Yisrael. Same answer. So therefore, there is going to be a chinuch where you are planting. Good. In eretz Yisrael, it's mountainous ranges. So therefore, you need a bigger and a stronger mahrisha. Mashaken in Babel, it's more softer land. So therefore, you get to use a mahrisha that's only 2 amot. Rabba bar Rav Hanan. Story. Rabba bar Rav Hanan. Avule, he had, and he would declare these palm trees, Amisra de Pardesa de Rabbi Yosef. On the border of Rabbi Yosef. Okay? So Rava has his trees there, right at the border of Rabbi Yosef, and he has his orchard over there. So, what was happening? Avu atut sipure, the birds were coming. Yatve bidikle, they were sitting on the tree. And once they got on the tree, v'nachte bepardese, they jumped down into Rabbi Yosef's orchard. U'mafsedeve, and they were eating the grapes, whatever was over there. Yeah, the grapes. So he had a claim. Amaleh. So Rava tells, Rav Yosef tells Rava, Zil kotz. Do me a favor, cut your tree down. You're damaging. Amaleh. Ve'a arhikili. Hey, listen, I follow the law. I'm 4 amot away from my, from the borderline. The Mishnah said 4 amot away, and that's it. So Amar Leis, Rabbi told him, "Hani mili le'ilanot." That's only when it's from trees to trees. Aval gefanim da'inan tafeh. But when it comes to vineyard, you got to move back more. And that Mishnah was talking about 2 trees, 2 fields. Reuven's got trees, Shimon's got trees. Okay, so Reuven's got to move his tree further for Amor. But if it's keramim, he got to even move more than that. That's what he told him. So he says like this. And what's the reason why you have to move further? Because of the birds. We're worried the birds are going to climb onto the tree. They climb onto the tree, they're going to fly into the other guy's field. So you have to be concerned. Wait. What are you talking? Our Mishnah clearly said, the law of moving for amot is whether it's from a field of trees or a vine. So therefore the Mishnah didn't make this chiluk that you're saying. Therefore, I'm in the right. I'm saying, "Amaleh." So Rabbi Yosef tells me, "Hani mili ilan leilan vegefanim legefanim." What the Mishnah meant is trees to trees or vines to vines. Then you have to go for amot. Amal ilan legefanim, but trees to vines. We have now the issue of birds. Ba'inan tafeh. So whatever he was telling him, he kept on answering him. He's trying to say, "Oh, I'm okay." No, don't bring me proof in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said vines, it meant I have a vine, you have a vine. I move mine for amud. I have trees, you have trees. But if I have trees and you have vines, I gotta go. You gotta go even more. Amale. So he told them, "Could be you're right, but you know what? Ana lo kayatzna. I'm not cutting the tree. You want to cut it? You can do whatever you want. I'm not cutting the tree." Now we get into the subject of cutting down a fruit tree. This was a fruit tree, it was dates. So Rava felt that this case of it doesn't warrant to cut it down. He felt he was in the right. And we know that from the Torah, you're not allowed to cut a tree that is fruit bearing. The Amar Rav, Hay Dikla de Ta'in, Kaba, a tree that only produces even a small amount of fruit. Kabah is a kav of fruit. Asur de mixiye. It's asur to chop it down. The Torah says, Lo tashchit et haitza. Ki memenu tochal ve'oto lo tichrot. This is a tree that produces fruit that can maintain the tree. Which means, if let's say you have a tree that produces one date a year, it costs you more money to maintain the tree than for what it produces. But so long as it produces enough to maintain itself, that's considered a significant shiur of fruit, and therefore, you're not allowed to cut it down. Oh, The Amar of Hanina, Rav Hanina says a story. Lo Shachiv Shechat Beri. Rav Hanina had a son. His name was Shechat. He says, my son Shechat Bar Menan didn't die only Ela Dekatz Te'enta Belo Zemeh, because he cut down a fruit tree, a fig tree, before its time. Which means, he cut down a tree when he wasn't allowed to. So therefore it's like a measure for measure. You cut the tree down before you were allowed to, meaning when it was still producing fruit. If it dries up the tree, it's another story. But he cut it prematurely, so midah keneged midah, they took him away also prematurely. Now, there is a big chiddush over here from some of the poskim that they want to say, and this is scary, that the sakana of mitah on cutting a fruit tree is even in a case where you're allowed to cut the tree down. Which means, let's say, the wood is more valuable than the tree, than the fruit. In that case, the Hakamim said, no problem. Because if you can make more money on the wood, selling it for building and things like that, it's not a problem. But still, it's a problem of sakana. Which is when you're cutting a fruit tree down, big sakanot. Anyway, so Rava's coming and saying, listen, you want to cut the tree down, I'm not cutting the tree down. More. No problem. Hey, Rav Yosef, you want to do it? You could do it. Which means, even though in this case, it's really mutar, because the deen is, if my fruit tree is damaging somebody else, that's another reason. There's loopholes here. Number one, if the tree is not producing anything, or if the wood is more expensive than the fruit. Or let's say, the tree as a result is causing damage to my neighbor, in this case, it's permissible. So, Rava didn't want to cut the tree down. Why? He didn't want to cut fruit trees down. Because he wasn't so certain that this is considered a direct damage. He wasn't so sure. Obviously, Rav Yosef helped. This is like gire dire. This is like arrows coming into my ear thing. By you putting the tree there, you're causing the birds to come on the tree and the birds are coming out. That's a direct. Rava wasn't so certain. I don't know how direct that is. Listen, you want to chop the tree down, you can get, I'm not getting involved in chopping a tree down, and that's why he abstained. Now, just one hadush on this concept of chopping the trees down. On a deeper sense. A tree we call ilan. Ilan is an interesting word. If you take the numerical value of Ilan, Aleph, Yud, that's 11, Lamed, and Nun is 80, so it's 91. 91 is the same numerical value of two names of Hashem. Yudke Vavke is 26, and Adanut, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is 65. Havaya Adanut, these are the two names of Hashem. Many times in the Sidurim you'll notice that these two names are written together. You see, Yud, Aleph, He, Da, they intertwine the two names to get to that magical name of Havaya Adanut, which equals 91. So the holy books say, when you're chopping an Ilan, as if you're breaking the Shem of Hashem. You're breaking Shem, Havaya Adanut. And therefore, Hazman Shalom can be very detrimental, like you see in the story. So, if somebody has a situation, he has to ask a posek exactly. Even when it's permissible, you have to know exactly how to do it. The best solution, always, they're going to say, is to hire a non-Jewish gardener and let it be done ayadeh ahirim. In cases where it's permissible or there's a legal loophole, still they'll say, better let somebody else do it so you don't have any issues. Amar Rabbapa. Anyway, the Gemara continues the story. Gemara kills, right? The Gemara continues the story. Amar Rav Papa. Oh no, new story. Rav Papa, new story. Rav Papa. Habu Luhanu Dikle. We had also palm trees. Amitzra de Rav Huna be de Rav Yoshua. Same story on the border of Rav Huna. Azal Ashkeche Dehava Chafar. All of a sudden, Rav Papa sees that Avuna is digging on his property line. No problem, he's allowed. Vekaka'it Sharashaf. And as he's digging, he's pulling out roots. He's pulling out all these roots. Amale, so Rav Papa says, "My hai, what are you doing? You're cutting all my roots over here." Amale, tenan, hayu sharashim yotzim letok shel havero ma'amik shelosha kedei shelo ya'akev ha'machrisha. Wait a minute, don't you read Mishnayot? The Mishnah clearly says, if the roots are going into the next guy's field, he's allowed to dig 3 tefachim deep, pull out the roots in order that the blade of the plow doesn't get blocked. Amale, so Rav Papa told him, wait, ani mili shelosha mor ka'afar tafeh. You're right, 3, but you're digging deeper. The Mishnah gives you up to 3, but you're going all the way deep. Amale, so Rav Papa says, wait, I have an answer for that. Ana borot shichinu ma'arot ka'afarna. I'm digging wells and shi'in and me'arot, and therefore, if you're digging those type of items, you can even go deeper, because it says in the Mishnah Ditnan, haya chofer bor shi'ach u'me'ara kotzetz v'yored. You're even allowed to go deeper. Va'etzim shelo, and you get to keep the tree, the wood. So therefore you say, hey, I know what you asked me for in the Mishnah. I'm not just plowing over here. I'm digging something. When you're digging, yored. Go even deeper. Anyway, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Amri Le Kulehi. I told Rav Huna everything. Meaning, I tried to stop him from the Mishnah, from this question, from that question. Velo Yechili Le. But I couldn't get him. Everything I told him, he had an answer for. Ad Amri Le, until I got him. I told him, Had Amar of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Metzah. Metzah is a border between two properties. Shehaziko bor rabim. Well, let's say on the border, already it was established a minhag where people would walk in that area. People would trespass that area. It was like a road where the people would use. Shehaziko bor rabim, asur nekalkelo. It's asur for the owner now to ruin that area. Once already it's established for the sibur to walk between the two property lines, you have an obligation to keep it intact. Oh, so if we came along and said like this, I already have a hazakah, my roots were going into your field already for a long time. You never did anything, you never said anything. Just like if you have two fields. A picture between it? Let's see if you have a picture between it. I don't need a picture, I think it's obvious. Yeah, two fields, and a little road in between the fields, whatever it is. Once already the Sibur is using it, you cannot go break it now. The Sibur is using it. So it's the same thing. My roots were going into your field. Hazakah, I was there already. Now you want to come now and root them out? Anyway, he said you don't have a right to cut it down. But, well, he held that my roots were there for a long time. As if I have a hazakah, and you never said anything. That's the point. You never said anything. So he yelled over here, you're not allowed to do anything. He says, Otam dekadim amdu ala metzar zman rav. These dekadim over here were standing on the border for a long time. Kodim shira, before any of this problem came up. Umahash ravuna lo mihabo. You never said anything. Ta'an da papa, I have a right now for this over here. It's like, just like if the Sibur was using the field, you can't stop them after a certain amount of time that they were using it. So too, my roots went into your field. My roots are using your field. You never said anything. So see you later. I'm going to stay here. That was his claim. Anyway, Lebatad, PS of the story. Lebatad, after that papa left, Amar. So Rav Huna said, ah, I should have told him something. Amai lo amri le. Why didn't I tell him, kan betok shesh esre amma, kan chutz le shesh esre amma. I should have told him there's a difference between if it's within 16 amot or not within 16 amot. What does this mean? Look at that sheet. Third line. בתוך 16 אמה דאילן, הביה חזקה דאילן. The guy's his tree. Not the guy, Rabbi Yosef had his tree on the border, right? If the roots that go out are within 16 amma of the tree, that's considered already belonging to the tree, because the tree benefits from those roots, even though they're far away. 16 amma is like 35 feet away, but they still nurture the tree. In that case, within 16 amma, I got to give it to Rabbi Yosef, because it's really his roots still. However, as she says, even though we know roots go even 25 amma, like we learned, rule, the roots will only benefit the tree within the first 16. After 16, already they're not beneficial to the tree. And this case over here, it was past 16 amma. He's, I forgot to tell him that. Which means, the whole, you're right. I didn't open my mouth to you. I didn't say anything to you. You got me. I can't do anything. But wait, these roots over here don't even benefit you anymore. Because after 16 amma, they're too far away from the tree. So therefore I should have told them that if I would have a right to cut them down and do whatever I want with them. You have that in the picture over here. You have the 16 amma. Which we understand. It's not even picture. It's obvious. Okay, beautiful. So that's the Gemara. We continue. We should just point out, and I want to go back. In all these cases, going back, I forgot to tell it to you. In all these cases that we're learning, the guy has a tree next to a board, the board came first, the tree came first, cut the tree down. You have to say in those cases, it wasn't a fruit tree. Just always keep in mind, all those trees you have to say were just regular trees, because if they're fruit trees, then you're going to have issues now of cutting down a fruit tree and you run into a whole other. So without, to sidestep that whole issue, you have to always keep in your brain. But that's what Tosfot says on the bottom of Chavav Amud Rishon. Okay, Haya Chofer, last case of today's daf. Haya Chofer Bor Shiyach Me'ara Kotzitz V'rin Atzim Shilo. Guy's digging in his field, a well, a pit, a cistern. You're able to go deep in order to pull out roots, because you need to dig your well. Yaakov Hadiyaba. He came from a place called Hadiyab. So they called him Yaakov Hadiyaba. Merav Chazda, yes, Rav Chazda. Etzim shel mi. Who gets to keep the roots? We had that question when we learned the Mishnah. That you can go deep, I have no problem. You need your field, you can go deep. But now you got a piece of wood now. Like these roots are like wood. Who gets to keep it? You got to give it back to Reuven, the owner of the tree? Or could the guy that dug the well keep it? Amale Tanitua. What do you want? It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Me'ilah. Okay, you know the laws of Me'ilah? What's Me'ilah? I have something that's Hekdesh. Are you allowed to use Hekdesh for your personal benefit? Haz B'Shalom. You used it, let's say. Oh, now you have to bring Korban Asham. And you have to pay Keren, you have to pay the principal back to Hekdesh, plus Chomesh, plus a penalty of Chomesh, a fifth. That's the din of Hatat, Keren, the Chomesh. Now let's read the Mishnah. Shorshe ilan shel ediot haba'im shel Hekdesh. Private guy owns property. Next to him, Hekdesh. Hekdesh next to him. What happens? Reuven's roots go underground into the Hekdesh property. Okay, so they're growing now in Hekdesh property. Well, now you run into a debacle. You go after the tree is hol, holin. You go where the roots are good. So I want to know, let's say somebody would come and use these roots for whatever he would use them for. So the Mishnah says, lo nehenin, we don't want you to use them, velo mo'alin. But if you did, you're not hayav me'ila either. So it sounds like, if you're not hayav me'ila, meaning if a guy went and used them, no korban, no nothing, it sounds like really from the law, it's not considered hekdesh. Who do those roots then belong to really? The guy that owns the tree. So therefore the Mishnah goes, the Gemara says, "I amat bishlab batan ilan azlinan." If you say that it goes after the tree, mishum ha'achel lo ma'alin. That's why there's no me'ila. And we're just being mahmir Don't use it because it looks like manitayin, because it's growing on the hekdesh side. So don't use it. We don't want you to use it. But you know what? If you did it, no problem. Because really, it belongs to the guy on the holin side. However, but if you say it goes after where it grew, if you're holding that roots that grow on the other side of the fence, that it goes after where it grows, so this case should be Hayav Me'ilah. The roots grew on the Hekdesh side. Therefore, why should it be Hayav Me'ilah? That's the Gemara's proof. Yes? And then what does it want to prove? Back to our case. When the guy is digging the well, he can't keep the roots. He's got to give the roots to the guy on the other side. Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's your proof? You forgot the rest of the Mishnah over there. If you keep on reading in the Mishnah over there, you'll see it's not so. Ela Mai. But Tad Ilana's Dinan. Oh, you want to tell me, you go after the tree? Not so. Ema Sefa, Shel Hekdesh Abba'im Shel Hedyot. That's the reverse case now. The Hekdesh roots are going into the Hedyot field. That case, reverse. What does it say? Lo Nehenin Velo Mo'alin. Same law. You cannot benefit from them, but if you use them, there's no Me'ilah. Viva Tad Ilana's Dinan Abba'im Lo Mo'alin. But if you tell me he goes after the tree, of course, you be Me'ilah. If you tell me, goes up to the tree, Hekdesh. So therefore, you, first of all, you have a stira. Because now we don't even know how to learn this Mishnah now. Make up your mind. Do you go after the tree? Do you go after the field? In the first case, you told me, the stuff from the tree went into Hekdesh. Goes up to the tree. No problem. If you did it, no Me'ilah. Oh, good. Goes up to the tree? Good. Next case. Hekdesh tree. It went into the Holin guide. Oh, no Me'ilah either. Oh, you're going after the tree now? No, you're going after the ground. So, before you bring any proofs, you have a problem in this Mishnah Bechlal. How do you learn the Nesha? How do you learn the Sefer? So Gebra says, Midi Iriya. Therefore, you think this is talking about the subject that we're involved in? No, this is not discussing our subject. Do you go after tree? Do you go after ground? That's not the issue over here. What's the issue? Begidulin abba'im la'achar mikan askina. Dekasavad en me'ilah begidulin. New story. I make a tree hekdesh. What's hekdesh at this point? There's one theory that says, whatever's here, anything that grows after, that's not hekdesh. Even though it grew from Hekdesh, I did not make that item Hekdesh. It was not here. So therefore, that's the subject of this Mishnah. We're talking about two cases. First case was, I have a tree in my personal field, Holin. What happened? The guy made his field Hekdesh next door to me. After he made his field Hekdesh, my roots now went next door. Since the Hekdesh was done, before the roots got there, therefore it's not Me'ilah, because Hekdesh is only hal on something that's there. In the second case as well. What happened in the second case? You have Hekdesh, you have a tree. Hekdesh made it Hekdesh before the roots came out. Now also after you make the tree Hekdesh, the roots go next door. There's no Me'ilah in that case either, because at the time of Hekdesh, the roots weren't there yet. So this has got nothing to do with the Mahlokin is, do you go after tree or do you go after ground? It's a new subject. So don't even bring this as any Ra'ayah. So this Rabbi Yaakov Hadayaba, he asked this question to Rav Uzda. Rav Uzda said, oh, what are you talking about? That's Mishnah Me'ilah. That Mishnah Me'ilah is not talking tree and ground, because you see it contradicts itself. And that Mishnah is giving you a new hadush, that when you make something Hekdesh, only what was there at the time is Hekdesh. Anything that grows after, no. That's one answer. Lavina Ama Lakasha. Lavina comes along and says, nah, I don't have a question on that Me'ilah. Kan betoch 16 amma, kan lechutz 16 amma. Oh, I can explain the Mishnah over there in Me'ilah very nice. Which means, that which we said, that you go after the tree, first case, tree of Holin, the roots went next door, what did we say? No Me'ilah. You know why? Because the roots are within 16 amma of the tree. What did we just learn about within 16 amma? It's still nurturing from the tree. Therefore, it's Holin. The second case, he had a hikdesh tree. What happened? The roots went out. No mi'ilah. You know why? Because the roots went out more than 16 ammah. When they go more than 16 ammah, it doesn't benefit the hikdesh tree anymore. Therefore, there's no mi'ilah as well. So there's no stira in that mishnah over there. I can learn there's two separate cases. One's betoch shesh esreh, and one is after shesh esreh. Oh, but wait. Once you learn the mishnah like that, I have an answer to that rabbi's question. He had a question, who gets to keep the wood? It all depends. If it's more than 16 amma away, it's not benefiting you anymore from your tree. Give it for myself. Oh, but if it's 16 amma still, then already you got to give it to the guy. Because really this was benefiting his tree still. And therefore, according to this answer, the way that Avinaz understand the Mishnah Me'ilah, the question of Rabbi Yaakov Hadayba has a terutz to it. Let's just read the last Rashi. Ravina Amar Lakasha. Resha Diktani Batar Ilana Zin. In the first part that says you go after the tree, Hainu Betoch Taz Amar. It's within 16. The Sefer Diktani Shelekdesh. The Sefer that says that if it comes to Diktani Shelekdesh, Ba'in Betoch Shelejot, Lo Marin Hainu Toch. I'm sorry, Hainu Chutz Letaz. It's further than 16 Amar. That's why there's no Be'ilah, even though it grew from Hikdesh. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.